Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. This is the Book of Revelation class. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. Today, we are looking at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 22, 1 through 7. So if you'll be so kind as to turn to that section in your Bibles, we'll get started with the lesson. Revelation, very last chapter. So we're getting close. We'll probably have at least one more lesson in the book of Revelation. The title of today's lesson is A Walk in Heaven. A Walk in Heaven. And the Bible memory verse that goes with this is found in Revelation 22, verse 7, the very last one we're going to consider today. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22, 7. Now, some people along the line here, some people criticize and say, well, look, Jesus Christ isn't coming back in 2,000 years. Why is it saying, behold, I come quickly? It doesn't make sense. Jesus Christ comes back for individuals when it's their time to come home with him to be in heaven. And for that, you have to be prepared, because he'll come quickly for you if you're not prepared. Revelation 22, 7. A Walk in Heaven, let's cover the first five verses, and then the last two, we'll finish the lesson. Revelation 22, verse 1 through 5, please. Quote, and he, now this is referring to an angel, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and one on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light from the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. End quote. Here we see further description of paradise, which began in chapter 21. Of particular note is the purity and absolute perfection of the environment. This is to be the dwelling place of the saints. That would be paradise. If you remember, Jesus told the thief on the cross, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. So this is where believers go. Paradise is somewhat understood in the Bible to be like a park or a beautifully well-kept orchard, characterized by three things: peace, harmony, and blessedness. This idea goes back to the lost estate of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, where all was well with the world and personal divine fellowship was enjoyed. According to the Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Adam was a vegetarian, in that he was to eat all the fruit of the trees except the one of the knowledge of good and evil. The thing not realized, perhaps, by some was the fact that Adam had already had the knowledge of good by his direct fellowship and walk with God. It was the evil part he was not to partake of, and he was supposed to avoid it, because evil brings death and destruction no matter what the environment is. In verses 10 through 14, there is a description of the river that ran through paradise, which split into four different rivers. This is back in Genesis. giving the idea that this original garden was located in the Babylon area, as noted by the river Euphrates. There seems to be somewhat of a geographical problem in the descriptions of where the rivers flow to, however, being impossible by today's geographic formations. One must keep in mind that at the flood of Noah in Genesis chapter 7, it says great upheavals took place that changed geography, perhaps forever. And these same rivers flowed differently thereafter. There's also another highly poetic representation of paradise in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 19, which basically concerns the fall of Satan, but it does make a reference to paradise. The account differs somewhat from the Genesis account, and we encourage you to take a look at it later. Our main concern is that of the account found in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 21 and 22. Here we see the one river labeled the River of the Water of Life, clear as crystal. And it flows directly from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flows down the center street. It flows in the center of the street. Now this shows that all life comes directly from God and His eternal Son, the Lamb. Notice here the term Lamb. We see Jesus Christ, even in Revelation 22, has not given up the title as the Lamb of God. And He will remain so for all eternity. Water is often associated with life in the Bible, as in John chapter 3. If you remember the John chapter 3 passage with Nicodemus, there Jesus says, quote, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," capital S, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God," end quote. Now here Jesus was not referring to water baptism at all, but rather the fact that a person is birthed in water and must be a living being to be born later of the Spirit. Nicodemus apparently didn't understand either the birthing or new birthing concept that Jesus spoke to him about. Now there are various different interpretations of what Jesus meant here. But to one not understanding the new birth, the new birth concept was a marvel that boggled the mind, even the great scholar Nicodemus. Quote, "Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again," end quote. Then Nicodemus had the new birth explained to him. The explanation was, quote, "that whosoever believeth in him," that would be in Jesus Christ, the one before him that night, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life," end quote. A concept that seemed hard to believe or understand Nicodemus. Believing God was and is eternal life. When one opens to that divine concept, one enters the birth canal to eternity. There are those who overthink this and try to make it complicated. Yet, we don't have to understand it any more than a baby understands being born. It is simple. Belief is confidence. You are confident God will save you if you trust His word and that He will save you according to that word. Quote, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," unquote. Just believe it. Here in Revelation 22 is where we all end up who trust Him. We end up in paradise, whether we think we deserve it or not. And the reality is we don't deserve it. That is why it is a gift. He gives us the gift of eternal life. Let's take a walk down Life Street. We'll call it Life Street here. It is described as having the beautiful tree of life growing on both sides. Along the walkway of the river, it bears 12 fruits monthly, which is said to heal the nations. Such a concept of healing the nations makes one wonder that if there is no curse, why the need of healing? As seen in verse 3, quote, "There shall be no more curse," end quote. Now that phrase right there can be translated "cursed one." And that perhaps refers to the devil, the cursed one of the original Garden of Eden. So, there will be no devil there in paradise to lead us astray, but we will remain human and thus subject to injury and accidents, hence the need of healing. Along with this, we must bear in mind that every curse from the fall is gone. We will have nothing to worry or harass us because, as in the original garden, we will walk with Him and talk with Him face to face. And, quote, "They shall reign forever and ever," end quote. The most blessed part of being there is the face-to-face walk and talk with our Lord. It may be an upsetting thought to those who never viewed themselves as leaders, as reigning. However, the idea of reigning involves royalty and rich blessings that are unheard of here on earth in our present day. Not necessarily leadership. We don't really think you need to worry about leading armies anywhere, but there may be a certain dominion given to each saint. Each saint, as seen in the words of Christ, Luke 19, verse 17 through 19. Yeah, okay. Now that says, Luke 19, verse 17 through 19, concerning dominion, he said unto him, that would be a servant, he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." And the second, that is the second servant, came saying, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And the Lord, he said likewise to him, "Be thou also over 5 cities. Now all this hints that all rewards will be in accordance to our present service, obedience, love, and attitude. So, as we continue down our walkway on this center street in paradise, we may pick of the tree of life, and we might just help in the distribution of the fruit and leaves to the saved in our dominion. That is, if we choose to have a dominion. Now, since there are nations given in eternity, as it says here, we know that all people will not be one, but still divided by language, custom, and heritage. Even then, it is only the plans of Satan that designs to have a one unified world government. The wicked purpose of that one government is to oppose God and his saints, as so vividly described in the book of Revelation. One world government is a very destructive concept and originally found in the Tower of Babel episode found in Genesis chapter 11. Please review that. It was a disaster back then for the devil and fallen mankind, and will be a future disaster when the exact time of Revelation chapters 17 through chapters 19 finally rolls into place. Let's take a look at verses 6 and 7. Quote, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." End quote. Here we stop briefly in our walk down the street. We can look around at our surroundings even more. This place is a special place that has walls up around the beautiful garden. It is like a secured sacred park, as it states in chapter 21. It actually rests on a great plateau on the top of a very high mountain. Psalm 2, verse 6, Ezekiel 28, verse 14 and 16, high mountain be called Mount Zion. Quote, "And he that is the angel carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven up from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels. In the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." End quote. Now that's the last part of Revelation 21. Paradise, an amazing sight, to say the least. But we must heed what our present verses tell us. Quote, "These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." End quote. So, we have a reminder of what was earlier said at the beginning of the book, that all these things written in the book of Revelation was to start shortly, after the Apostle John had finished writing it. For that, look back at Revelation chapter 1. This makes this not a prophecy thrown into the far distant future, as some today would have us believe. We must go by what is here stated. We are his servants that this prophecy was written for. It is for our benefit. It was written on our behalf. Quote, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Means that these blessings are for us presently who read this book. Not just those in a 7-year tribulation period, sometime perhaps in the distant future at an unknown date. We are the ones who are to be blessed by keeping the sayings of John's prophecy. That's what it says. Also, of note is the fact that God's prophecy is said to come through holy prophets. The emphasis on holy. The fact is that after the book of Revelation was complete, so was the Word of God. It stands complete. All the prophets after the apostles were not holy. Sadly, this would include the popular Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons, and Muhammad, which neither of which heeded the important warnings of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. That's very important. Neither of those, and any other so-called prophet that followed the apostles' age, none of them heeded the warnings of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Please look that up. Now, we must keep Revelation's message close to our hearts and uncontaminated. As we wait to walk the golden street for ourselves. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come to Thee, thanking Thee for all of Your promises. And all these promises come about through Thy blessed Son. Thank Thee for sending Him to die on a cross on our behalf, that we might have eternal life. And that we might have it abundantly. We thank Thee for paradise. We thank Thee for Your plans to go there to prepare a place for us, and that in our Father's house there are many mansions. Thank Thee for all those promised blessings. Thank Thee for our earthly blessings we have, our life, and everything that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for salvation rich and free, and it is only by faith. We pray now that You'll be with all the requests we have. Pray for each listener of Thy Word, that You'll mix Thy Word with faith and empower each listener. We pray that for the salvation of each, that they will turn to Thee by faith, believing in Thee. Pray now that You'll be with the other requests we have for those who are sick and in need, for the sick and poor, and for those, especially in our families, that we know or have special needs. Pray also now that Thou bless Thy word as it goes out. We ask for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask for our nation, that You'll bless it and turn it to Thee. Cause repentance to be spread throughout the land. Pray also for our leadership that we're supposed to pray for, our governmental leaders. We pray also for our leaders in our churches. Pray for each of our members, that You strengthen each one through Thy Spirit and through Thy Word. And we pray these things with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.